Well, thoughts are with you during what sounds like a frustrating time.
Yeah, it is.
Kira, is there anyone besides JP who is excused for this meeting?
Yes. So I have Cesar, which is excused, Thomas, Helen, Gwen, and then JP. And
Wow.
Billy, yeah. And then
Yeah.
Billy on a leave of absence.
Okay. So the ones who are supposed to be here are Ed, Ron, Elaine, and that's all. Wow,
Zachary.
three.
Oh wait, no, Zachary is also excused, actually.
Okay, well, I mean, with two out of three, that's actually quorum. Amazing. But if all the rest are excused and only three are expected to attend, then you have achieved quorum. So, Elaine, you can start it at any point.
All right. I don't even know what time. Okay, 3:05. Yeah, let's get this meeting rolling. It's hot outside. So call the meeting to, or I don't have the agenda at hand with me
Oh,
anymore.
Kira will put it up, and I'll have
Okay.
it with me. Just a moment.
See, I have it. Okay. All right, I call the meeting to order at exactly 3:05. And if we get Burleywood inductions, Elaine Flores, co-chair membership.
Ron Hernandez, committee member.
Mark Moore, council staff.
Kira, council staff.
David Jordan, council staff.
And hi, everyone. My name is Manuel Vasquez, and I am here to speak to you all about my possible membership. I'm excited.
Oh,
And I work for the Mayor's Office of Housing and Community Development. I'm the HIV Housing Programs Manager, and my pronouns are he, him.
welcome.
welcome.
Thank you.
Is that that's it?
Yeah, with all the
Okay.
excused absences, it's only us, plus hopefully Ed will join us.
Okay. All right. Well, so let's go to the next review and approve September 8th draft for the agenda for today.
So you'll see here we have our special item of the year, which is our resource allocation vote that we'll do after all this pro forma. And then not a whole lot under attendance report except to interview Manuel and then
Okay.
some more pro forma after that.
All right, I would agree to vote for the agenda for September 8th.
Seeing none opposed.
None. Objections. Staying. Okay, let's move to number three, review and approve July 14 minutes.
It should actually be August 11th minutes.
August 11th? Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right. Said July.
All right, thank you, Tara.
All right. Okay, gone to approve on the minutes. Hearing no objections, sustained. Okay, been approved. Okay, let's go to any announcements today.
I don't know if maybe Dave has more insight on this. I don't know if council leadership has determined to extend virtual meetings. If you all recall, the full council meeting, itself, as well as membership, have determined that they would like to meet in person, but that was, of course, several months ago. The Mark, Council of
Mark, my this is actually an agenda item.
Oh.
The co-chairs asked me to agendize this on all committees this month. So it's on the agenda.
Okay, excellent.
We shall continue this, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other announcements? Okay, hearing none. And there's no public today except for
Manuel.
I'm so sorry, Manuel. You would no think worries. I would know that name. Okay?
No, as long as you don't call me Manny. So many people call me Manny, and I'm like, that's the one name that I can't.
All right. Okay, let's go to allocation vote.
All right. So this is a two-part thing because I want to go over the new prioritization tool that's going to be sent out shortly after this meeting. Kira, if you could share the service category prioritization sheet. So Ron and Elaine, this should be familiar to you all as something that I've sent out every year for years. If you can go a little bit more to your left, Kira, so we can see that first column. Any chance of that? There we go. And so this is your list. You can see that from the second column that this is what the council determined will be the priority order for core and then support services last year. What you'll do, of course, is fill out your own individual priority for this year in that first column, and then you'll send it back to me. I'll send that out to the full council. The differences in this one is that we received guidance that we should be including those service categories that we are not funding at all, so that everyone has an informed decision based on what could potentially be funded. So that created one addition in core and five additions in support. You'll see here in core, that's that last line right above support services that says medical nutrition therapy. We currently don't fund that, but that is a fundable category. And then under support, you'll see the same thing. They're all italicized, starting with referral and ending with HER, which is an acronym for, of course, health, education, risk reduction. All of those are not funded, although a couple of them have been funded in the past. They're currently not funded with Ryan, at least with Ryan White Part A dollars. So it's similar to the other past gray areas that we've had. So the council, for example, on Core Service 8, pharmaceuticals, there's no Ryan White funds that go to that, but because they are, of course, supported by ADAP, the council thought it was important to keep that in there, even though we don't use our money, because it's clearly vitally important to people living with HIV. And so it's similar to that. So now, in addition to pharmaceuticals and early intervention, you have medical nutrition therapy. So just prioritize as you see fit. And then as I do every year, I'll then tabulate the results of all council members and then bring that to our prioritization and allocation full council meeting at the end of this month. And I will send that out probably this afternoon to everyone. Ron or Elaine, do either of you have any questions?
No.
Pretty standard additions. Yeah. All right, you can stop share on that one. And then if you can share the resource allocation. All right, so this is a motion coming from the most recent committee, community engagement. So it won't need to be moved or seconded because it's already on the floor for a vote. The first motion on the floor for a vote is for increased funding. The community engagement committee determined, they moved and approved that if increased funding occurs, service category resource allocation will be increased proportionally across all categories. Pretty straightforward scenario for increased funding there. Any discussion about this increased funding motion? Yeah. All right. So we'll go to, I'm sorry, we do have a member of public here. So any public comment before we go to a vote? All right. So motion on the floor is for increased funding. Elaine Flores.
Yes.
Ron Hernandez.
Yes.
All right, our next one is last funding. You'll notice a theme here. If funding remains at the current level, service category resource allocation will remain level across all categories. Any discussion for the flat funding scenario?
All right. Well, I was just going to jump, I'm the public, I guess. And so I just wondered, and maybe this will be explained later, but if there was a, is there a possibility of priority change? So for instance, I saw the sheet that you just mentioned with all the different services that are funded by Ryan White Part A. Is there any way to prioritize that, or does that come later?
I'm happy to explain that to you. So it's a nice reminder for existing council members. So resource allocation and service category prioritization are actually two separate things. Okay. One might think that they're actually related, and in some jurisdictions, they are intimately related, not so much in San Francisco. So resource allocation is in some ways self-evident what happens. If depending on the amount of Ryan White Part A funding, these scenarios determine how it will be spent. For service category prioritization, that's important, but it's important in a different way. So when the council determines the priority of the service categories, what HIV Health Services, a unit of DPH, as you know, does is it takes the top three prioritized service categories in both support and core services, and they make it the central piece of their annual grant application. So because those have been prioritized the highest, the council sees those as the most important, even though funding may not follow that priority. So for example, the number one priority, which I think is currently mental health, is not going to, might have less money in it than say the number three priority, which is I think centers of excellence. So those two aren't wedded. Where that really does show up is in how the grant writer portrays the EMA's successes and targets and initiative. And it does that by looking, okay, what did the council prioritize in the top three here and the top three there? And it's usually some combination in the core services of centers of excellence, mental health, and primary care. In the support services, it's usually some combination of housing, sometimes emergency financial assistance, but usually housing is always there. So that's why the grant application will be able to portray both our excellent center of excellence system, our how we are able to use different funding streams for primary care, and it will also convey the unique housing challenges that San Francisco EMA faces, because again, prioritized usually in the top three of priority setting. Does that explain that, Manuel? That was super fast. And
it does, but I do have a follow-up question. So what is the actual prioritization mechanism? Is it service utilization? Like that makes it top three? Like what determines that it's one of the top three, I guess?
The council does.
Okay, and what is the council, how do they come to that decision?
It's absolutely not wedded to any particular way that service category shows up. So the council members can each individually determine from the presentations and information and data that they have been receiving all year long across all different service categories. They can take in consideration what they learned from the prior year's quantitative needs assessment. They can take in consideration our EPI and our ARIES data reports, and they can take in consideration past year's service summary utilization sheets, which literally go over number of clients, hours of service, how many service providers are in that category. They take all of those in. And so that's why they individually put those together, because we do want to look at the council as like one member, one vote. So everyone certainly gets their own voice and opinion in this, since it is a community council. And then, so when bringing back that tabulated amount, you know, I put them all together and make an average. And then the council reflects upon like, well, what I know what I did. Now let's see what the group did. And then a discussion ensues. During the Zoom era, the discussion has been a little bit less, but in the in-person era, often there'd be like breakout groups where people would look at what they actually prioritized, saw what the group prioritized. There would be discussion. They would then come back, and then people would sometimes make motions. So for example, someone would make a motion saying, well, the group did put mental health as number two, but if we look here at service provision, there's our big gaps here. And if we look at service utilization, we see here that this is one of the highest used services. So I move to move mental health from number two to number one. Someone has to back up why they're making that decision that might be against sort of the group idea, but people often agree if a council member can argue the case that certain sets of data, rather than anecdotal personal experience, but certain sets of data can reflect why we want to reprioritize something.
Okay, thank you so much. That was helpful.
Sure thing. All right, so flat funding, any more discussion or questions? Seeing none, we'll go to another roll call vote. For the motion on the floor of flat funding, Ron Hernandez.
Yes.
Elaine Flores.
Yes.
And then finally, the motion from community engagement for decreased funding, which until this year was our most likely scenario. But as you all know, we actually received an increase for this year. So fingers crossed, let's be aspirational. Maybe there'll be another increase next year. But in the case of decreased funding, which is what we mostly experienced, for the first 10% of reductions, allocation for services that are covered under California's EHB, the Essential Health Benefits Package, will be reduced proportionally. If the cut is over 10%, if more reduced allocation is required, then it'll be a share the pain model of just proportionally across all service categories. And just as a reminder to Ron and Elaine and to help Manuel with understanding of this, the logic behind the taking the first 10% of cuts out of those categories that are also covered under California's Essential Health Benefits Package was basically to reduce the pain of other service categories, because those categories that are noted in an asterisk below can actually get remuneration from other funding sources. They would not necessarily, if the Ryan White amounts are reduced, they can make that up with other funds, whether it's Part B funds, whether it's this or that. And so that was the logic for, if it's under 10%, we'll just do it there. But if it's over, we got to spread the pain a little bit. All right. Any discussion on this motion from community engagement? Seeing no discussion, any public comment? All right. Elaine Flores.
Yes.
Ron Hernandez.
Yes.
All right. So these motions are now complete. You can stop share. Thank you, Kira. This will now move on to council affairs next week, and then to steering and then after that, we'll go to the full council. I don't know if PLWH advocacy group is meeting this month. If they are, they'll get to look at it as well. And just so that you know, Manuel, any committee can choose to change and update the motions that came from a prior committee. These are sort of a San Francisco thing, not really in any other jurisdictions. These are traveling motions, so that with the logic being that we want as much people as possible on the council to have eyes on the motions and be able to impact the motions rather than just receiving them for the first time at a full council meeting. It's again trying to center community and sort of the wide dissemination of information in advance of like a meeting. All right. I'll stick around for a little bit. I'm not sure I can stay for the whole meeting, but you know, Kira and David can cover, certainly.
All right, guys, moving along. Let's see, what do we got here? Next one will be the council member attendance report, and then we've got your application. So when the council member attendance.
So it looks like it's the only thing there, the interview. And if so, then I can create a breakout room, I think, or maybe that's something that Kira has to do since you were the host.
Yes, pretty sure Kira is doing that.
So we're gonna send you into a breakout room, Manuel, so that we can discuss you. And then we'll bring you back and then interview you.
Sure.
Kira, can you quickly share screen the questions?
Yeah.
Everybody was sent those earlier today, but just in case, we can quickly review them.
He's taking over Bruce Ito's seat, right?
That is the idea. So he would be our sort of housing mandated seat representative. We used to have a couple people, and unfortunately, we have none now. Before
you go any further, since I did want to leave at 3:30, I think I'll actually leave now so I don't leave like in the middle of the interview. So have a good interview. And Dave, can you just connect with me later on or even text me about what any kind of decisions co-chairs or this committee have made about in-person versus virtual?
Yeah.
Say again, sorry.
Yes, no problem. I will share with you what happened at yesterday's meeting as well.
Perfect. Hope you all have a good meeting and good interview. Bye-bye.
All right, bye, Mark.
All right. So, you know, these are our same old questions. Presumably you guys have those there in front of you as well to review. which of you, usually we have more people and we can do one person per question. So you guys may want to do sort of some compound questions or, you know.
I can modify number two.
Sorry, what was that, Ron?
I could take number two.
I think you probably need to take more than one question is my point.
We can rotate, take number one, you take number two, then three and four.
Okay. Well, I mean, number four, it's, you know.
Number four is, we don't have to go through them. Oh, number five, I mean.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm a little confused.
Just rotate. We can rotate the questions. I'll go first, and he'll go, and whatever questions after that you guys want.
So Elaine is number one, Ron is number two, Elaine is number three, Ron is four.
Yes.
And yeah. Elaine is five.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Sounds good to me. Kira, do you have, the committee has, I believe, reviewed Manuel's application more than once at this point because he reviewed it as committee before we decided to move forward for a vote. And then we also reviewed it last month. Do you guys want to look at it again?
Because I am a bad co-chair member for the last 2 months, I really didn't get to see his application. So.
Yeah,
maybe I can take a look at it and make sure. But sure. I've already seen from me sounds great, but yeah, just for fairness, I'll take a look at this application.
Okay, Kira, can you? Thank you. So. So as you can see, he is he works for the mayor's office on housing, as he mentioned earlier. He is HIV positive as well. Let's scroll up or down.
Yeah.
To next page. Could probably jump to the next page. Probably move forward. Sort of checking most of these boxes. But not a consumer of Ryan White services.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's probably an income related thing. Next page. I'll give you guys a moment to.
So I had a question with that. Would he fall under, he's affiliated because he's working with a part of mayor's housing, but he's not a consumer because he's not.
He is neither a consumer of Ryan White services, as he noted in the previous page, nor is he unaffiliated. So. All right. Any discussion before we move forward to the interview?
Thing looks good on my side. How about you, Ron?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Kira, do you want to invite Manuel back? Thanks. Welcome back, Manuel.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today.
Sure.
So, as discussed, we're going to go ahead and move forward with interview. Manuel has already seen our sort of boilerplate questions. And so, you know, these are, interviews are always intended to be sort of open book test and not sort of a pop quiz. And so I'm sure he has is fully prepared with answers for all those questions. That said, there are other questions that may come up sort of as follow up, but you know, we'll move forward as we see fit. Once the interview is over with, you can either, again, go into a breakout room while we discuss, or you can just exit the meeting and either Kira or I will follow up with you about the committee's decision.
Okay.
Okay. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and let the committee members take over the interview.
Okay. I'm Ron Manuel. Question number one. How did you hear about the Planning Council and what and you interested in joining?
Sure. So, you know, I think another representative from the Mayor's Office of Housing and Community Development, Bruce Ito, was on this council and the great work that y'all do. And so I've always heard about the Planning Council. I'm a person living with HIV, and I have been a client at many different service providers, aid service organizations, community-based organizations. And also I was in Atlanta where the Planning Council is separate from so they have an HRV Ryan White Council, and then they have the separate prevention. So I was really intrigued to see how kind of things go and progress here. And I even talked to David a little bit in the beginning when I started the application. But I love to serve, and I really am passionate about serving people in the HIV community just because I'm in the position I'm in. So I'm the HIV Housing Programs Manager. So I actually oversee all of the HOPWA grant funding for the entire city and county, which also includes San Mateo. And, you know, I'm literally looking forward to be innovative. And so I think being a part of this membership, this planning council, would further that. I love being on a team. I'm definitely strengths-based. And so it's really great to hear perspectives and, you know, what's kind of going on amongst everyone's kind of purview. So that's really great. So yeah, that's what made me feel like I should apply.
Thank you.
Thank you, Manuel. I feel like you've already answered this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Tell us about any previous experience you have with community planning or program planning for people with HIV.
Sure. Well, I think in my role, I do that every day, just because we are actually building up some programs. Again, my focus is housing, but because I'm trained and because I have a lived experience of being positive, I'm also bridging the medical aspects. And so bringing the HIV prevention world into HIV housing or HOPWA, Ryan White, but also medical care providers. I also used to manage a community health worker program. So developing strategies for those unmet needs, those people who are out of care. I used to be employed through the CDC grant here in San Francisco. I used to do outreach under the 101 freeway, just better understanding why people weren't in care, and then helping dispel any myths. So if you didn't, and your provider wasn't that great, or you didn't feel comfortable, we can find you a medical home, and you also can get insured. So it's about informing them, and I would take them to 1440 Harrison and get them on Medi-Cal, and I would be there right with them. So I feel like in terms of strategy and building programs and developing, that's my passion. But I also am really influenced by people. And so I also like to make sure that I go out in the community. I'm on a number of councils so that I can stay informed. So the long-term care coordinating task force, I meet with that monthly. I'm also on HAPN, HIV AIDS Providers Network. You know, and so I'm on a lot of committees and things like that. So I feel like I stay informed. But, you know, on top of that, you know, I was active in Atlanta and the Ryan White Planning Council there. I would attend the meetings every month. And, you know, it's interesting to see how different jurisdictions work and how they work with their members. So I feel like I've, you know, been in this world and this field for quite a while.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, leaving to number three is pretty much you just summed it up.
I'm a big talker too. I can get really detailed. I have to stop. No,
because it actually number three kind of just pretty much leads to your specific skills and ability you would share as a planning council member. And in other words, you know, where you picture yourself making the greatest contribution to the council.
Sure. I think the biggest thing is my perspective as the housing, you know, person on the committee, because I think that was what was mentioned is that may be lacking with the departure of the previous. So therefore, I'm happy to fill that and happy to inform, but also collaborate, because again, going back to the notion that medical and housing work together and not work in silos, we can holistically serve the clients better. And so I think my perspective, my daily work, the obstacles I'm facing are important for the council to hear. And I can kind of explain that, but I'm also solution oriented. So partnering and possible solutions. So like an example is I'm about to develop a citywide training on like housing, public housing, HIV housing, because it's so complicated and so many people don't really understand it. And it's especially for clients. So I'm going to invite all service providers, medical, social, everything to come to this training. And so they'll learn the basics. And there we go, right? Each one teach one. It will further spread the community's education.
I want to be a part of that group too. Thank
yeah.
you.
Takes a village, that's for sure. Right.
Okay, I'm going to try to stump you with this question. Effective community planning means that the group, often representing different points of views, must bring themselves to consensus on a matter. This often involves a level of compromise from many or all persons. When you make a decision as a council member, what would you view as your three most important elements in making your decision?
The community's perspective is one. So the clients we're serving, the larger community is extremely important. And that kind of was my question at the beginning when we were going through the agenda is like, how are these prioritized? Like, what is the mechanism? And so I would say first and foremost for me, it's the actual clients we're serving. Then the support. So the medical providers, the social workers, the case managers, they also come second is like, what are their challenges? Because many a times, it takes a village really. And so a client can't always do it by themselves to find services and navigate their care. And so I'd also want to hear the perspective of the supportive, entities in that person's life. And then third, I would say my colleagues, you know, my fellow council members, because I really appreciated how Mark explained the prioritization. You know, it's a discussion. And then, you know, it's really a discussion of, you know, putting all the data out there, like he said, and making the best like explanation of why you feel it should be prioritized. I really appreciate that from my colleagues, and I would be listening to that and make my decision and vote on that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Last one, Manuel, is that, and I've heard you before say that you attend to every meeting. So this one is a little bit important and all that. Our bylaws are very specific about expecting attendance from the council members. If expected that a council member will attend at minimum or one committee meeting each month and one council meeting each month. We wish to stress how important attendance it is in participating as a member. What do you be a cause of to fulfill that attendance experience as a council member?
I mean, I think attendance is very important, having, especially if, like, for instance, one person is kind of the specialized in a certain service, then there's a gap when they're not there in terms of the knowledge. So I do understand and I take this very seriously. And I think also because of my city role, I do dedicate my time and energy to better services. And the only way to do that is to make sure you're present. I'm not a passive kind of, I mean, of course, if it's necessary to really hold the flow over, I like to step up, step back, you know, but I do have a lot of ideas and I hear from a lot of different communities. And so I just think attendance is really important. And so for me personally, I understand the obligation of attending all these meetings because I'm a part of this council. I've known many people who've been on this council before, TJ Lee, you know, a bunch of other people. And so I know how important it is to be present and that it's required. So I don't foresee any kind of issue with that. And especially now that we have the world of Zoom, you know, it seems like people can do it from home, or, you know, they can, if you're on vacation, you can do it. And that's how important it is to me. Like, this was different than my city experience. You know, again, it's informed in some ways by that, but it's a personal decision as a person who lives with HIV and a person who's like a support for others.
Thank you. All right. And with all that do, I think that was it. And well, thank you so much for being here today and sharing all your wonderful experience.
And do you have any questions for us?
No, you know, I think, again, David and Mark and others also I've talked to that have been on the council have really shared a lot with me. And so I don't feel like I have any questions. But on that note, as David kind of pointed out my options, I would like to stay and wait for it.
You're good. We like it. All right. And then that.
All right. So, Kira, can you set up another?
Thank you all.
I'm Manuel. I'm sure we'll be. Oh, there he's gone.
Wow. Well, he's super qualified. And I think he's potentially going to be a good, you know, maybe in the leadership position.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I vote for it. Yeah.
I'm right behind you. I second that. I mean, he's just absolutely what we need. So, yeah.
He has the interest and the energy.
Mm-hmm. And he's come from a long line of total with lots of experience, so. Being a part of the Atlanta one too, that's, you know, it's challenging.
Maybe he's overqualified.
Right.
I guess help me entertain him well enough.
Well, I go ahead to second to the approval.
Okay. So it would need a sort of motion and a vote.
Yeah. So motion to vote.
Okay. So.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm hearing two yeses. Okay, great. All right, Kira, go ahead and bring them back. All right, Manuel, congratulations. You are now a member of the San Francisco Community HIV Planning Council.
Thank you. I'm excited. Thank you so much.
So Kira will be following up with you around some onboarding. There's some paperwork involved and some, you know, conflict of interest disclosure forms and what have you that you need to fill out. We'll also be following up with you around an orientation training at some point in the next probably month or so. We have one other person who just came on board, so we'll probably try and train you guys at the same time. Additionally, the next full council meeting is, I don't remember the date off the top of my head, it is Monday the...
Next Thursday will be stirring, right?
Monday the 26th.
Okay.
Of this month. If you would like to, you can submit us a real like basic bio if you like, or we also encourage people to just show up to the meeting. There will be a vote on your membership at the meeting. So what has happened now is the committee has decided to move you forward to a vote by the full council. In my time, in my decade working for the council, I've never seen the council decline to take somebody who the committee has approved, but I don't think that's going to happen here, especially since you would be filling a mandated seat for housing. So I feel like it's a pretty good shot that they're going to vote yes. It would be great if you could show up and maybe just introduce yourselves and yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself really briefly. As I said, if you're not comfortable with that, it seems like you probably are, but if you aren't, you can submit a written bio if you like.
Sure, I can do both, but I'm definitely going to attend.
Okay. And I believe that is all for now.
Okay.
You can stick around for the rest of the meeting, or you can take some time back for your day. We have just a couple more items to cover.
I appreciate that. I'll probably I'm doing HUD reporting in the year. It's a lot. But I did have one other question, because when I was reading through the membership application, it did mention like this is a mayoral appointment. What does that exactly look like? So again, now it's gone to the general, the whole board or the whole council. And then I guess maybe the council submits that to the mayor or?
Yeah. So Kira will be submitting your name to the mayor's office. There is a staff person there who is responsible for doing sort of research and background on anyone who is put forward as a member of any sort of board or commission, city board or commission, which you would be. Technically, the mayor is the CEO of the council, as she is the mayor or as the CEO of all boards and commissions within the city. Ideally, we'll get approval back from the mayor's office at some point within the next few months. Sometimes it takes quite a while.
Hmm.
Recently, there were folks that were waiting for more than a year.
Oh, wow.
Maybe even 2 years. But that was strange circumstances, unusual. But it often does take 6 months or more before we hear back.
David, maybe you can elaborate on the limitations on its voting
privileges. Sorry, what was that, Ron?
His voting privileges, how limited they are until he gets the okay from the mayor. His voting privileges are held.
Sure. So we, in fact, suspended that rule because the mayor had not actually been approving new members. And that was sort of, it felt inequitable that so many folks were not being granted voting privileges. So we have not revisited that conversation with the co-chairs or in steering yet. So as of right now, new members do have voting privileges regardless of mayoral approval. And if the mayor gets back on track in a more sort of timely manner, then it looks like that might be happening. So we'll probably revisit that decision at some point.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.
All right, Elaine.
I think they lost
Elaine. Is she frozen or? Yeah.
Maybe she is frozen. Or she's just really intently looking at something in her lap. all right. Next agenda item is it demographics or is it return to in person?
Return to in person.
Well, unfortunately, Ron, you were the only person here to have this conversation with. The co-chairs last month asked that I re-agendize this. I know we discussed it a few months ago before our return to in-person meetings in May, June? No, April? April, May. And then, you know, we had one in-person meeting and more than one person got COVID. So that was suspended. And they've asked that we reopen the conversation around in-person versus remote and maybe some type of hybrid at some point, although I think we're still kind of dependent upon improved technology options for that. This was discussed at, we got double Elaine. This was discussed at community engagement just yesterday, and they chose to remain remote for the foreseeable future. They intend as a committee to revisit the issue in January. So community engagement is going to be remote at least until January. Okay. Also, full council, the steering will also take this conversation up for the steering committee, but also for full council. One of the things that co-chairs and steering had discussed around increasing safety is the food would still be provided, but it would be strictly on a to-go basis, so that we would encourage people not to eat or take their masks off unduly during meetings. And we would ask that folks take a rapid test day of. We, of course, cannot mandate that, but we can encourage people to do that, and we can help by providing rapid tests if people do not have access to them. All that said, it is sort of ball is in your court around what you want to do as a committee and individuals.
Okay, guys. Oh, I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry. My thing from the Zoom on my notebook said that my Zoom was taking over and reheating my pad, so it cut off on me. So I'm on my phone. So I kind of missed a little bit what you guys were doing. Sorry. But I kind of got what you guys were at now. Yeah. So are we the only question that I didn't get a chance to hear is that, are we going back or we're thinking about it?
So there has not been a decision made. Co-chairs asked me to reopen the conversation in every committee. So each committee can make the decision for themselves, for their committee. And each individual is also sort of making that decision for themselves. It was unanimous in community engagement that they stay remote until at least January. There was nobody interested in going back to in-person there.
I'm surprised with that, because I support the health caution, but I also believe that maybe morale is, like, we're losing morale and the spirit of the council when we're not meeting. So, I mean, of course, we want to be safe, but I would move to finding a way to meet as soon as we can.
Oh, no. I mean, I know every county is probably running their meetings differently. I know we have an option here, and this is just a saying, not asking you guys to follow it, but maybe you'll bring an idea to other co-chair members from all committees to, like, I know we have talked about it in the past about having both, but here we have been working with it. And it does get people to go on Zoom, and it does have people show up. So we're still kind of, we operate with both of them. I don't know how strongly it would work in San Francisco.
Sorry, it sounded like maybe there was a piece of what you were saying. You're talking about the Marin Council.
Yeah, I mean, this is how we're doing. Yeah, this is how we're doing it right now, Dave. I mean, it's kind of like we have both of them, the Zoom.
So you're doing a hybrid?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have people who are showing up to council meetings in person, but also having, you're doing some sort of Zoom smart screen or something, I presume?
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's a suggestion.
Yes, I think that for the size of the council and for the room that we use, we have seen that Zoom is not super effective. We've tried it before, even before the pandemic, you may remember.
We would often have our
state representative Zoom into those meetings, and it was not effective. They were not able to communicate very effectively. I do think that as technology stands, and if technology improves, I think that that is a conversation that's happening at DPH. In fact, you may remember that part of our carry forward funding was going towards investigating improved remote and or hybrid technologies for support groups and things of that nature. Presumably that would also be helpful for us. So it's in the works, but I suspect that people are not going to be super enthusiastic about hybrid meetings, at least in 610, where we generally have our meetings, because of the bonkers acoustics in that room and the just sheer size of it.
Okay.
because it has that weird sort of parabolic ceiling that kind of really makes things hard to hear depending on where you are in the room. But is that so? What is your recommendation as a committee? Do you want to begin meeting in person sooner rather than later? Sounds like Ron is interested in that, but I don't know what the timeline you're looking at around that is.
Well, knowing how we're getting closer to the end of the year, my goodness. I'm all for what Ron is saying, and I actually have heard on several occasions in news is that how certain companies are now eagering their employees to come back to work. And I can feel what Ron is saying about it's more productive having the live versions of our meetings to get back on track. It's better that way. Gets a little bit more things done quicker and easier. So I would be all in favor of going back soon, but given that the timeline of the year already, maybe be something to start off the new year in January again, if possible.
That is what community engagement is doing. Or at least they're revisiting the issue in January. They're not, they have not given January as a date to return to in person, but as a date to reopen the conversation.
Well, here's another one, because we tried it out and there's no Zoom meeting for it, but for our allocations, we're actually really looking forward to having everybody show up to that. How about having it in person for the allocations? And then we can just continue doing what we're doing until the end of this year.
It's already been decided that the summit is going to be remote.
Okay. All right. Don't forget, I just came in. Didn't get a chance to hear all what you guys were talking about. Okay. All right. So Ron, you want to go back now?
No, I don't want to go back now. I want to go back when it's safe. I'm just encouraging people to consider going back, not out of convenience. A lot of people want to do it over Zoom because it's convenient for them, because I like working from home.
Right.
But I'm saying, as a council, I think it's good that we meet in person. It really, the morale is just a lot better. Just you know, a lot of people who volunteer to be in the council, especially consumers, they're doing it to be part of something. So doing it from home is a different experience than someone who works in an office and has a choice to be in, at home to do it.
You know? Right. Yeah. I get it.
So I see both ways. I want to be safe, but at the same time, I want to encourage us to get back together and bring up our morale again.
Right. Okay. I got it. So I agree.
If we have to revisit this conversation in January, then we will.
Yeah.
Okay. I will also note that there are two new vaccines on the horizon, one likely to be available next month, it sounds like, and an even more effective one potentially sometime in the new year. But that sort of second one is still very much up in the air. I don't think that there's any firm timeline around that. So that might change how people perceive this. That said, we don't control what sort of mutations, COVID mutations look like and how things have changed. It feels like every time we've decided to move forward tentatively and trying to be safe, we've been sort of forced back. And so I think it's, you know, we can right now, maybe I will, so I'm going to take this as your guidance is that we will revisit the conversation in January. And we are not going to be meeting in December, presumably. That is, has been the history, although it is, of course, always your choice to meet in December if you choose. And so we really only have a couple more months of meetings before then. I will report back to steering and council affairs about what your decision was.
Thank you.
Okay. So sounds like we're wrapped up there. Kira, do you want to do demographics?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Kira. I only had one question because I'm not on the agenda right now, but I saw something about the leave of absence for Bill Cooper. Was that already handled, or do we just have to go over it again, or what's the deal with that?
She's on a leave of absence. It's just noting that she's already on a leave of absence.
Okay. Is that a new? Okay. All right. Thanks, Dave. Okay, Kira.
Right. Let me share the demographic reports. Give me 2 minutes to grab them. Sorry, I'm working off 2 different laptops. But David, can you go over your next agenda item, actually, while I try to figure this out? Oh, you're muted.
Sorry, can I go over what?
The council recruitment agenda item.
I have a fan on. It's hard for me to hear.
The council recruitment agenda, the next one.
There's nothing really to report there, unfortunately. We haven't done much in the way of recruitment, though our I will say that our biggest populations for in need of recruitment are Latino, Latina, and with the addition of Pedro and Manuel, I believe we are actually back in alignment with our demographics. We still are lacking in youth. I have done an amount of recruitment around youth, although have not had anyone, had no bites, unfortunately, as far as that goes. We try to recruit both service providers who were working with youth and youth themselves, and I think that just there wasn't a lot of interest. I think people were sort of at capacity, is what my understanding.
Question about that. You just said that service providers, are they qualify as youth population if they work with the youth?
Yes. So within any of those populations, the standard is either a member of that population or a service provider working with that population. So.
Or theoretically a parent.
That would count as an affected member of the community more likely than a youth. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So similarly to Elaine, who is an affected family member. So that's where we are essentially with that. I still have some hope that we will be able to reach out to a youth organization. And there was something else I was going to mention about this, but I think that we are still sort of on the cusp somewhat with our non-aligned consumer representation. We are always looking for new non-aligned consumers.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
All right, now I can share the demographic. backwards. Sorry about that. All right, so this is the EPI demographic report. And we actually had one new member join, which was last month. You recall we had Pedro join. Mm-hmm. So that kept our target areas. With that being said, our target areas have not changed, but it did help specifically in the Latino Hispanic area. So that also brings our total number up by one. And hopefully now with Manuel joining, that will also help. And great. Then we have our Aries, which reflects essentially the same numbers and the same kind of data. And that brings our total membership number to 24. So our target areas still remain the same. We've just, since we've only had one new member and we've had a couple leave, but besides that, they're pretty much the same. Does anyone have any questions?
Can you put the last graphic back up for just 1 second?
Yeah. And this is the Aries demographic report.
Yeah, so as you guys know, the Aries report here is the one that actually matters. The EPI is just a comparison piece. But it does not actually, it's not what we base our decision-making upon. What we base our decision-making upon is this one, because this one is Ryan White Part A consumers versus all HIV positive people. And so let's look here. So yeah, we are, with the addition of Manuel, we'll actually be slightly over on Latino, Latina. Native American, we are apparently somehow slightly over also. So it looks like we are basically on track or overrepresented, not overrepresented, but amply represented in basically every category. I think the only one that we may, so you can see down at the bottom there, we are low on HIV. Total HIV, so that we have 46% there. That should be at least 51% to be within the mandate. And then non-aligned consumers is 25%, and that should be 30%.
Okay.
So we are slightly off our target there, but not so egregiously off our target that there's, I think, huge concern. That's all.
Okay, cool. Thanks for going over that piece, Dave. It helps. Mm-hmm. All right, yep. Cool. Thank you. All right, so I don't have the agenda. Is that it for our agenda for today? Yep.
Yes, it is.
Yes. All right, then. Okay, guys. And as at 4:08, calling the meeting to adjourn until our next meeting. All right, okay. Guys. Thanks. It was a great one. All right. Have a good one. All right. Okay, cool.